Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon Tengwa. I'm Jim Galante. Landon, I am looking forward to today's show.
Ready to go, Jim. I'm excited. I think we got a variety of topics to cover, and everybody knows that AP Top 25 just came out. So excited to dive into that one and get talking.
That's where we're going to start right after this. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. That's the place I keep reminding you. That's where I got my Honda CRV. They're located, their showroom, West College Avenue in State College. If you're looking for a new Honda, whether it's a CRV, a Ridgeline, the Accord Hybrid, definitely the place to go. Me personally, I traveled 90 miles to get to them because they gave me the best deal, the best buying experience. Check them out online at Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com. And just a little foreshadowing, we got some exciting things going on with Bobby Rahal Honda, don't we, Landon?
We do. We got some stuff in the works for you guys that will, some stuff come season time that we'll get out there to you, and it'll be a good time. But yes, we're very excited about that. And I'm excited. I'm waiting on my dad. I don't know if he's listening. But as soon as he's going to take my car soon, and I truly am, I'm going to Honda. I'm going to Bobby Rahal Honda to get. I think I'm going with the Honda Pilot. I would get the Ridgeline truck, but unfortunately, does not fit in my garage here in State College. The driveway, it's just too big for the driveway. I it's all right, it's fine. I'll get me a nice big Honda Pilot. But in all seriousness, I am. Whenever my dad gives me the green light, I'm going to be giving him the car, my Audi that I have now. Going to be getting my car from Honda. So very excited about that one as well.
Audi out the door. The Honda Pilot is a real nice vehicle, by the way.
It's roomy. I need roomy, man. We're 6'6", still about 300 over here. So I gotta get some nice room.
300, you're down to 300.
Well, you go back and forth. Whenever I decide to just swim for a week, maybe we'll drop below 300, get back up. Definitely something that fluctuates depending on my Chick-fil-A trips.
I got to be careful when I'm in town with the lunches we go out for then, yeah. Landon. I'm going to pack the pounds on you. All right. Let's get right to it, Landon. We've got the AP Top 25 came out. Let me just real quickly, I'm just going to give the top 10 for folks so they know what we're talking about. No surprises at the top. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Ohio State. Then it's Oregon, Texas, Alabama, rounding out the top five. Then Ole Miss, Penn State, Michigan, Florida State, and Missouri round out that top 10. In that top 10, there are, let's see. Well, first of all, in the top eight, there are four Big Ten teams, four SEC teams. Any surprises there at the top for you, Landon?
Not really. I kind of think everything that we see. I mean, Ohio State, they jumped up eight spots, but we all know what kind of firepower they brought in. They definitely shored up some holes that they had with NIL, and they were looking real good. But really, no, I don't think so. I know that a lot of – and we'll get to this in a second with Michigan, but there was a lot of people that were mad saying, hey, we won the national championship. And I saw a tweet out there that said, we go to a national championship from a disgruntled Michigan fan saying, you put us behind a team that had Drew Aller starting at quarterback. And I just thought that was funny, considering I don't even know who Michigan's starter is going to be. There's a bunch of talk about it's going to be this guy, that guy. But I think me and you, along with everybody else, is really excited to see Michigan lose this year, more so than Ohio. They've just won too much. I hope they get sanctioned all the way through. I hate to say it, but they deserve it. I just, I've seen them, the fans start to go after us on online, and I just think they're going to have a big drop-off. They had a ton of guys go to the NFL, and they also had, I believe, they were up there as far as transfers, Jim. I want to say they had 30, almost maybe 40 transfers. I think they were up there for leading the Big Ten, just because anytime a coach leaves, there's so much turnover with the players. But a lot has changed for Michigan, so I am curious to see. They're at the number 9 spot right now. I don't think there's any surprises. I think, honestly, I think they got it. They killed it. The AP Top 25, they did a great job with this list. I think we at 8 is a absolutely correct pick. You know, I think that it – I don't see a case where we're better than Notre Dame. Obviously not Ole Miss right now, Alabama. And I do think we're better than Michigan, Florida State, Missouri. I think that is – the exact placement. They got it dead on for us.
I got to correct my mistake already, Landon. When I listed off the top 10, I skipped over Notre Dame.
Oh, man.
And I pushed Penn State up a spot and everybody else. And I said that, you know, the top 8 were all SEC and Big Ten, obviously, because of my missing Notre Dame. I wonder, you know, I want to say it was an accident, me leaving Notre Dame out, Landon.
I was going to say that, Jim. I don't think it was. Maybe you subconsciously just did it just from so much hate. I don't have as much hate because we haven't played Notre Dame since I've been around Penn State. But I know back in the day, you know, we were both kind of the good old boys that, you know, we represented the, you know, Miami and the other guys. They were the bad dudes. But Notre Dame and Penn State were always kind of that good light of college football. And, you know, they got us edged out by one spot. But I know I'm interested to see how their quarterback play plans out. I saw they had a lineman that got injured. That can definitely – it was their star tackle got injured. He's out for the entire year. So I'm curious to see how they fare. I haven't actually really looked at their schedule too much. But like I said, I really do feel like how the last season ended, these rankings really are pretty fair to everybody and really do a good job of taking into account what happened in the offseason with departures, people bringing in players with NIL. I'm very much a fan of this AP list.
I think, Landon, there's some interesting things. You mentioned, you know, the Michigan fan. He said, how can we be behind a team with Drew Aller at the quarterback? But there's at least some stability at Penn State at quarterback. There's so much change over at quarterback, especially in the Big Ten, where you see Ohio State and Oregon 2 and 3. They are both going to count on transfer quarterbacks. Now, they're both – well, Dillon Gabriel, especially for Oregon. I think he's a proven quarterback. Oregon, they did it with Bo Nix coming in as a transfer, so they have experience in doing it. Ohio State is just playing so talented around the quarterback position that I think it's fair to have Ohio State there. However, with that said, I think when you do have a transfer quarterback coming in, there's at least a bit of a question on how they will perform with a new team.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they, you know, these rankings, they felt so comfortable putting Ohio State at 2 and Oregon at 3 just because we are now in a world where quarterbacks go elsewhere and succeed really well. I feel like that wasn't really a thing up until about 2, maybe 3 years ago, where a quarterback was somewhere 3, 4 years, went somewhere else and saw tons of success. So I think there's that like comfortability level of like, okay, you know, they're going to succeed. Will Howard is a really good quarterback. Dillon Gabriel's probably even better. I have heard there's been a little bit of competition with Will Howard and I forget the other quarterback's name that they have. I'm not sure if they brought him in or if he's been there.
Devin Brown,
yes. He's been there. I've heard Will Howard is, you know, he's obviously very athletic, and we've talked about that. I think last year Ohio State hated the fact that Kyle McCord's athleticism was just subpar, and we've talked about for the past 10, 12, 15 years, Ohio State has always had that quarterback that, yeah, they're elite passers, but guess what? When it's 3rd and 5, you better be watching them to take off. They didn't really have that in Kyle McCord. He couldn't just take off and go get you a first down. I think they're excited to have that in Will Howard again, of someone that they said he was hitting 21, 22 miles per hour. So a really, really fast quarterback. But yeah, was it right to put them at 2 and 3? I think so. Just looking at these rankings, I think maybe you can make a case for Texas over Oregon, perhaps. But for the most part, I think they did a good job. But it's going to be interesting to see how these quarterbacks fare at these new schools. Like I said, so far, quarterbacks late in their college career that have transferred over to an elite team, it's fared really, really well, Jim. So I think that's kind of the expectation for Will Howard and Dillon Gabriel.
Well, you know, one of the things you mentioned Texas being there. My concern with Texas is in moving to the Southeast Conference, there's the issue of, you know, they've been used to playing a certain style of opponent in the Big 12. That gets very, very different in the Southeast Conference. Now, as far as Southeast Conference schedules goes, Texas got a cupcake schedule. Now, they do have Michigan in their out-of-conference schedule, but the good teams, they have Oklahoma, Georgia.
It's not too shabby at all.
Yeah, look. Mississippi State, A&M, Kentucky, Arkansas, even Florida is not, you know, is down the last couple of years. They don't have Alabama, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They miss a lot of the cream of the crop.
No, they definitely lucked out, I think, with their schedule. And I think that's nice to ease them into because the SEC plays defense rather than the Big 12. Big 12 does not subscribe to playing much defense. That's why you see those 50, 60-point games pretty frequently, honestly, throughout a season in Big 12. So there's definitely that adjustment. But, I mean, Texas is absolutely loaded. You just look at their roster, and it's like, my God. So I think they'll be able to handle it. But you're right. There is that adjustment period where they played a couple SEC teams these past couple years, just scheduling them outright. But I think I'm excited for Texas. And then you look, you got Quinn Ewers, then you got Arch Manning right behind him. You're definitely talented at Texas, so that should be exciting to keep an eye on them. And then obviously Alabama at five, still kind of Alabama. Now, I mean, it's not Nick Saban. I'm very curious to see what that transition is like out of the Saban era at Alabama. You know, are they going to be affected by that? Are they just going to keep it rolling? And then Ole Miss, we've talked about them a bunch this offseason because we played them in the Peach Bowl. They added even more guys. They lost Judkins to Ohio State, but at the number six spot with probably what I would say is the most high-powered passing offense in all of college football. Definitely exciting there for Ole Miss fans.
And they have a rather cushy schedule, too, by SEC standards. All right, Landon, we're just about out of time, quarter one. We're going to pick it up in quarter two. I'm going to ask you this. Who's underrated? Who's overrated? We're going to do that when we come back right after this short message.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon. I'm Jim. Landon, we're talking about the AP Top 25 that came out yesterday. Some interesting things. And when I finished up quarter number one, I said, I'm going to lead off by asking you about who's overrated and who's underrated. And I'm going to throw an extra word in here. I'm going to say potentially overrated or underrated. And I say it that way because I think there's another variable to all this, which with these conferences getting so big, the schedule is a huge variable. Like we mentioned Texas and Ole Miss, getting a pretty easy shake of it in the Southeast Conference, that's not necessarily always the case. So is there anybody who sticks out here that you say, that's too high or that's too low?
Yeah, for me, I know. Clemson's at 14. These past couple years, they've really felt lackluster. They lose so many games I feel like they're supposed to win. Reminds me a lot of my Pittsburgh Steelers. They always play down to their competition. You know, they moved up six. They ended last season at 20. Now they're at 14. I don't know. I just, for me, it feels like Clemson is not a part of that. They're definitely not a part of that elite group. And I don't even feel like they're a part of that mid-tier elite, you know, that Penn State tier where it's not just all the way elite, but just a touch before that. I don't even think they're a part of that anymore, Jim, in my opinion. So I for me, Clemson at 14 would be one of the teams I would point to and say, I don't know how to feel about that. And honestly, I would say if Michigan didn't win, and outside of that, really, I think they nailed this. I think they did a great job on this list. I'd say Michigan at 9. I know it's Michigan. You know, you dropped them 8 spots. It's hard. They were the national champions. You can't drop them outside of the top 10 after you were a national champion. But I think you could even argue Michigan should be lower with how many people they lost. You know, they have a couple dudes coming back. They still have Donovan Edwards. They got Mason Graham, who's probably the best defensive lineman in all of college football. But they lost just boatloads of talent. I mean, it's one of the biggest – it's a completely new team. If you were in that locker room, the coaches, the players, it's like 70% of the dudes aren't there that are there the next year. I think that overall is going to hurt them, and I could see them dropping a couple games that they probably shouldn't.
You know, I agree with both of those. And I think Michigan – is getting the benefit of the doubt as the defending national champions, but they're without their quarterback, they're without their coach, they lost a lot of starting players to graduation or moving on to the NFL. So I use the word potential. Let me give you another team that I just find fascinating, and that's Iowa. They're ranked 25th, which I think is fair, okay? But they have the potential, if you look at their schedule, among the top teams in the Big Ten, they play Ohio State, and that is it, okay? So I could see they theoretically could be favored in 11 out of 12 games. And what I'm going to bring up to you, a painful memory, Landon. Do you remember in 2021 Iowa, Penn State looked really good to start the game. Sean Clifford then gets hurt. At that time, do you remember Iowa was ranked 3rd in the country at that point? 3rd. Their fans were ecstatic. You look at the schedule, they looked in pretty good shape. You know that then they proceeded to lose to both Purdue and Wisconsin back-to-back weeks. Both teams unranked at the time, which to me is just incredible. And, of course, the Big Ten West was so bad. They still won the division, played Michigan for the Big Ten championship, and lost by a mere 32 points. But with that, so when I say the potential, Iowa could go through this season. They could win 10, 11 games because of that schedule. Yet it's still Iowa, and would you be surprised if they lose 4 games and they're probably ranked where they're supposed to be?
That's a good point. I don't appreciate you taking me back down that dark memory lane right there, Jim. Yes, I do remember. I was a freshman. I was not playing at the time, but I was on the sideline holding the clipboard. It was the most hostile environment I've ever been in. The fans are right next to us. They would throw trash. They'd poke you in the ear, in the back of the head, just try to mess with you. It was the loudest, and I will ever say this, and I think people might get mad at me, but I forever stand on this. It's the loudest stadium I've ever been in. I don't care. Big House, Ohio State, you know, Penn State, Beaver Stadium, Whiteout. It was the loudest thing I've ever heard. I'll never forget standing there watching Taquan Roberson do the silent count, and we went offsides. We false started 3 times in a row because we couldn't even do the silent snap because it was that loud. And then I remember them rushing the field. That was a bad feeling. And someone ran right into me and kind of ricocheted off of me. I do remember that too. I was one of the first people back in the locker room. And this poor girl was, I mean, they stormed the field. Hey, you know, you storm the field, all bets are off. Kind of, I got ran into, and I'm, you know, 330 pounds and shoulder pads. So this poor girl went flying. And I remember someone came up to me with double middle fingers and said, FU 58. And then they kept running. So yeah, that was not the most fun experience. I appreciate you taking me back down that memory lane, Jim. But yes, whatever that field's called. But it was the first quarter waving to the children's hospital. That was cool. But no, I would not want to go play in Iowa, but you're absolutely right. They are a team to upset and then just implode to teams that they should not lose to. So that's pretty on par for Iowa. And then one other, looking at the bottom too, West Virginia, they got 17 votes. to be up in the top 25. So they're right around, 33 pretty much. They'd be the 33rd ranked team, just to give you guys an idea of where the AP top 25 kind of sees West Virginia. So they're not that far outside of the top 25 for our first opponent.
I think if you look at Penn State's schedule, they obviously have number 2 ranked Ohio State, number 23 ranked USC, and then 3 teams that also got votes, like you mentioned, West Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin also fit into that also getting votes category. So for Penn State, more than a fair schedule, there's an opportunity there for them. The last note here, in looking at this, do you see any teams who are like in the second half of this top 25 that you say, you know what, I think we could see a run from that team?
Oh, that's hard, man. I mean, honestly, I would say there's a lot of talk about Virginia Tech, who is, they got 70. I mean, they're right on the outside there. Technically, they'd be the 27th ranked team in the top 25. I think they could go for it. They have a really good quarterback. They're young. They look good. Outside of them, I mean, West Virginia has the potential. Garrett Green is a really good quarterback. They're good up front. They've been around. They went 9-4 last year. So a lot of those guys have played in, bigger games. So, I mean, I honestly would say, and hopefully not week one, but I think West Virginia has a shot to – they could win 10 games. I mean, it's possible. They have – I think they play 4 ranked opponents, I believe, 4 or 5, including us. But that's always possible. I look down at our friends at Auburn. They got a couple votes to be in the top 25. Don't think they're going to fare too well, Jim. But, one team this isn't a team that I think is going to do very well. I think they're actually going to get destroyed. But I kind of want to pivot in. We're talking schedules. And we were talking SEC schedules earlier. I want to talk about Florida, University of Florida's schedule. Now, they start off, it's not exactly an easy schedule to start off, but I want to take you to November for the Florida Gators. Now, starting out from here, we're going November 2nd to November 30th, all the 5 games in November for them. They play number 1, Georgia, number 4, Texas, number 13, LSU, number 6, Ole Miss, and then number 10 at Florida State. I mean, they play 5 ranked teams, all – ranked 13 or higher in 5 weeks consecutive. If I am a Florida Gators player and I'm looking at the schedule, I'm going, my God, get me through this stretch. That is not going to be a fun Thanksgiving holiday season for the Florida Gators. I don't see any way. Oh, you could have 4 or 5 losses and I wouldn't even call it a bad season for them. Talk about favorable schedules. Well, they got the short end of the stick, Jim. They might get pummeled.
Having those, their last 4 conference games, Georgia, Texas, LSU, and Ole Miss is bad enough. But 2 of their out-of-conference games are Miami and Florida State, which I know they do that down in Florida. It's great that those teams play each other. But 2 of your out-of-conference games, Miami and Florida State, holy cow. And yeah, if they go 500, they'll be, that's not a bad season. I'll give you another Southeast Conference team that I think, and that's Oklahoma, that they're ranked 16th, but I could see this landing going really bad for them pretty quickly. Oklahoma compared to Texas, Oklahoma gets Tennessee, they get Texas, they get Ole Miss, they get Missouri, they get Alabama, they get LSU. Mm. Boy, I mean, that's a team that could lose 5 or 6 games.
I know. It'd be hard as a fan. Can you even be mad when you lose the games you're supposed to lose? I mean, it's like, you're starting to play these super conferences, and I think that's going to be kind of what we see from here on out. It's going to be completely schedule based on how, if you're going to have a good year. Are you going to have more of a cupcake schedule like we talked about for Ole Miss, where you're only playing 2 real teams, or are you going to be like Florida and Oklahoma and these other guys, are they're just getting their schedule just filled with just top 25 teams out the wazoo? So it's, as a fan, I don't know how mad you can be when you get put in a position where your schedule is just ultimately difficult.
And you mentioned how that schedule works. We've talked about this in prior shows in the Big Ten, how Iowa, it falls really well. Rutgers, I know we're not looking for Rutgers to be a top 10 team, but they get to avoid Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon, who I think they're the consensus four best teams in the conference, and Rutgers doesn't play any of them. If you're a Rutgers fan, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you could kind of dream a little bit about a 10-win season.
That'd be fun. I will say you're exactly what I was saying. You know, when you get that favorable schedule, you better take advantage of it. So Rutgers has an opportunity to really do something here, go to a nice bowl game, maybe find their way. I mean, imagine Rutgers in the playoffs, Jim. I can't even fathom. If you would have said that a couple of years, I mean, like I said, we're getting far, far ahead of ourselves. But they have a really good running back. They've been decent, so.
And they're a tough out. All right, Landon, that's it for quarter two. We got lots more to go when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim, and our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Check them out if you're in the market for a brand new Honda. And what other car should you want? They've got a great selection of vehicles. They've got the truck, the Ridgeline. I got to start mentioning the Honda Pilot, Landon's new favorite. They also have the CRV. That's what I purchased. You want to check them out in State College. Their showroom is on West College Avenue. Online, you could also check them out at Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com. A great buying experience there and also a great deal. Trust me, I know that for a fact. All right, Landon, you know, we just finished up with the Olympics. Did you watch any of the closing ceremony?
The closing? No, absolutely not. I don't think most people did. I'm going to be honest with you, John.
I guess the highlight was Tom Cruise jumping off the top of the stadium. And
didn't even hear about that. I'm going to be honest. After the men's gold basketball game, I don't think I watched anything else, really.
And we are going to talk hoops. But first, Landon, you know what time it is?
What's that?
It's time for Landon's Stat of the Week.
It's
How about
time.
An Olympic stat of the week, Landon? What do you got for us?
Olympic stat. Despite a population of 1.5 billion, India won zero gold medals in the Olympics this year. So it goes to tell you, it doesn't matter the amount of people you have, you need to have elite athletes. That's the answer.
And, you know, what is it that what is the national sport of India? Cricket?
I guess cricket. I'm almost certain it's cricket. Cricket is huge. That's why you look. I forget the names, but like people have shown on social media that the most famous cricket player, which I wouldn't even have a clue who he is, he has like triple the amount of followers LeBron James has on like Instagram. It's crazy just how different like soccer players and, you know, we think of these guys as very famous. And it's like these cricket players are triple as famous as LeBron James.
It helps that there's 1.5 billion
exactly.
People. By the way, if I remember correctly, I was reading, Landon, about some new sports or other sports coming back in L.A. in 4 years, and I think cricket is going to be one of them, along with like baseball and softball.
I would enjoy that, honestly. I don't know if you saw breakdancing was in, and it was one of the most horrendous competitions. It wasn't even like they were good. Nobody was good. And there's some really talented on the street breakdancers, and you telling me like this is the people you're bringing. So I don't know what's going to happen, but that needs to be cut. And I heard that was wrestling got some medals cut. They used to have more medals. They had to get some cut. And I'm pretty sure that breakdancing was kind of directly responsible. They took those medals pretty much. There's some things. There was also like underwater hockey or some really confusing sports going on, Jim.
Well, that breaking that they did, I think that's a one and done, Landon. And I think fortunately so, as one and done with that sport. And I'm using air quotes here. You're listening to me, but trust me, I've got the air quotes out there for sport. Glad that's gone. But what was exciting, Landon, you mentioned watching the men's final, but it was also a lot of entertaining basketball. The women's basketball went down to the last second. The U.S. women were the heavy favorites in every one of their games. And I think they did not beat the spread, I don't think, in any of their games. I think they were underwhelming. And against the French, they were at least double-figure favorites. They ended up hanging on by a point when a woman from the French team, she hit a shot at the buzzer just 1 foot inside the three-point line. So it was only a two-pointer to bring them within one. Here is my stat for you, Landon. Are you ready for this one? Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
You and I have been complaining about Caitlin Clark not being on the team. I think rightfully so. Here's the stat for you from that final game. The U.S. women's team from three-point range, they were 2 for 12, Landon. 2 for 12. Do you think they maybe could have used Caitlin Clark in that game?
Just a little bit, Jim. It's so difficult. And my thing is, Diana Taurasi, I saw she barely played at all. And I get you have to have her. She's like the LeBron, which I don't really know if we can make that comparison because LeBron James was the best player, not in the gold medal game. We'll get to that in a second, who was the best player. But LeBron player was the MVP of the Olympic team. There were some people on the women's team that didn't really play and didn't need to be there. I'm like, and you're telling me, Caitlin Clark, forget it. Put all of the politics aside of the standpoint that she brings all these eyeballs. You and me both would have tuned in to a WNBA game. The Women's Olympics, I didn't watch any of them really. Caught a couple highlights. But for me, it's just one of those things where it's like Caitlin would have made that team just way more explosive. I just don't see a world where she doesn't. She's an elite passer too, getting people open. It's like I said, I know you have to give the nod to Diana Taurasi. She, like I said, she basically is LeBron, but she's really not that good anymore. You know, you kind of were playing politics. I get the rookie doesn't get to just come in and get the nod right away. But there was a lot of reasons off the court and on the court that I think they really would have benefited from Caitlin Clark.
You know, Landon, you and I have been doing shows together now. We're closing in on a year, I believe, and we don't disagree very often. I'm going to disagree with you on this one. There were several players you could have taken off that team and put Caitlin Clark on. Several of them. And that's what killed. And I'm a little salty about this, Landon, because just today I read an article, I think it was Sue Bird, another historic WNBA player, who said, gee, the problem with getting Caitlin Clark on that team is who would you take off? I could give you probably 3-4 names, if not a half dozen. Come on, people. You know, you wanted to try to do this that, it would be a popularity contest putting her on, and we can't do that. Well, I think the proof is in the pudding, Landon. You read, and it wasn't just that last game that they struggled from outside. They struggled with their guards. It was throughout the tournament. She was one of the best players. She should have been there for that, let alone the number of eyeballs she would have brought. No excuse for it, Landon. None whatsoever. That's my take.
There you go. I like it, Jim. That was a little bit of salty Jim. I'm ready for it. We haven't talked about this. Salty Jim, because we haven't had anything really going on since the bowl game. I'm most excited for. I hope the fans are. Salty Jim's return is coming very shortly here in checking my watch. I don't know what, about 3 weeks. I cannot wait to hear after West Virginia. I don't know why. Hopefully we don't have a salty. Hopefully we have a happy Jim after West Virginia. But well, I'll be excited to hear Salty Jim throughout the season.
Here's the thing about Salty Jim I want to tell you about. A little secret with it, Landon. Very seldom is it about, you know, the performance on the field, especially by my own team. My team could win, and I'll be salty about something else. The officiating, the announcers. And the announcers are one of my favorite things to get salty about. So
who's your least favorite announcer?
Oh boy, that's
you had
a
to
good
pick one that really grinds your gears. Mine's Chris Collinsworth on. Now that's NFL, but I just kind of get angry hearing him talk. That's just mine.
Do you know what it is? I'm going to give you a general thing. In baseball, the hometown announcers are so bad almost everywhere. And I've got, like I said, I'm a Mets fan, okay? So the Mets have the very best TV broadcast team in the country. And it's not just me saying it. There were actual votes for it. There's no doubt. They're exceptional. Some of these other places are absolute terrible homers. Not just homers, terrible homers, Landon. Anyway, let me move on. So let me get us back on track. We were talking Olympic basketball, okay? So the women, they got the gold. I thought they were still underwhelming. The men, I think some people might say, hey, this wasn't like the dream team who just came in and crushed everybody. Well, guess what? The rest of the world is catching up. That's mm-hmm. why.
Exactly.
But the final, and I'll let you talk more about what Steph Curry actually did. But if you get a chance, go online and find it. The French announcer, okay, and he's speaking French. But get the replay anyway. You get the gist of it. He was calling Steph Curry the devil as he's making those last shots. And the expression, and again, you could tell by the tone, but the translation was he was saying, how is this possible? Steph Curry was incredible, Landon.
He was. He was he was the MVP of that gold medal game. Real quick, you mentioned it, though. I do want to say this for all the older people that are listening. This team, there's been talk, this team was better than the Dream Team. And I say this from this standpoint, like there were some people on that Dream Team that were really, really old, like Magic, Larry, like they were pretty much all the way on the way out. They, you know, MJ was older. I mean, he was, you know, not too old. But for this team, they're playing against some real competition. And we've seen this now. That's why a ton of NBA lottery picks come from elsewhere. They don't come from America. Go back to 1992, almost every pick inside the top 10 was from America. So, you know, I just do want to make that point that everybody's getting better. And I've seen people say, hey, next Olympics, there's no guarantee gold medal for the women or the men, really. Like, there is going to start to be some true competition because everybody around the world is starting to catch up. So I did want to make that point. And I saw some of the teams that the 92 Dream Team played. It's kind of laughable, some of these teams they went up against. I mean, it literally looks like a group of high schoolers, and Magic and Larry and all these guys are just kind of toying with them. Not the same thing when you have to play Victor Wembanyama, who I think will be probably the best player in the NBA in a couple years.
So oh, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, amazing. He, you know, him and Steph are going back and forth. So I just have to put that out there. They're playing the caliber they're playing against. It is completely different than the Dream Team or even the Redeem Team, the 2008 Redeem Team. After they didn't win the gold in 04 and LeBron and all those guys came back in 08, it might even be better than that team. But putting that aside, talking about Steph Curry, I mean, just electric, just doing what Steph Curry does. You think back to that OKC Thunder game back in like 2016 when he pulled up from half court when he still had 3 seconds left and just shot it. That, and, you know, sunk it. That was back when it was the Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, you know, elite teams. That was kind of the vibe Steph Curry had in this gold medal game. I mean, it's just he couldn't miss. And it was just fun to watch. And that is, we were talking about Caitlin Clark, Jim. I'm going to bring this back around. That is the fun part, the exciting part, that three-point shooting that they bring to the game.
It definitely is, Landon. I'm going to give you a follow-up thought on it when we get back for quarter number four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Landon, just to put a bow on the, we were talking the Olympics, women and men's team, especially Steph Curry. And you brought up your feeling that this was better than the Dream Team. Could very well be the case, but the point you made about the international talent getting so much better, that is the case. And give the NBA credit because they really worked hard to make basketball an international game. Okay, they worked hard at it, and guess what? They succeeded. And if anything, yes, it's kind of nice to have your home country just go out and dominate the basketball, but you know what, it's more fun, it's more interesting with these international players. And I love the way so many of the international players play the game. It's really fun to watch. So I have no problem with it, and it does make for an interesting game.
One other thing real quick I want to bring up too is, you know, we got spoiled. The TV timeouts were few and far between in the Olympics. You got to see a lot of ball. We're about to go back to timeouts, you know, TV timeouts every 3 minutes, sports gambling ads shoved in our faces 24/7. I just had to make that statement. I thought about that when I was watching the gold medal game. There was not nearly the same amount of commercials that we see in the U.S.
I'm going to call that salty Landon.
I like it.
And I like, see, that's the kind of issue salty Jim would bring up. I am so proud of you, Landon.
It means a lot, like, Jim.
You're my own when you bring up things like that. All right, Landon, let's circle back. We spent the early part of the show about the AP Top 25 that just came out, which was really interesting. But you, my friend, went and did some research on the initial AP. What was it? Was it a top 20?
It was a top 20 then. We're going back to 1936. It was the first ever AP poll, and it was a top 20. And the top team was Minnesota, Jim. We go Minnesota, Duke, Army at 3, Northwestern at 4, Purdue at 5, USC at 6, Notre Dame at 7, Washington at 8, Pitt at 9, and we got Yale. We got some Ivy League rounding out the top 10. I thought this was fun to kind of just take a look at. I mean, obviously, the Army being at the top. Minnesota, I mean, Minnesota was good back in the day. People don't – I wonder how many – I have to go back because it wasn't – I wonder how many national championships they have from back then. I'd never done any research on them. But – and then we got, like, there's Fordham at 16, Holy Cross at 17, Marquette at 20. Talk about,
oh wow.
I mean, Marquette. I mean, maybe in basketball, top 20 in football. That this might have been 1936, might have been the last time they sniffed the top 20 in football, truly. So I thought this was kind of a fun list that I came across. But just kind of show how it's evolved over time. So I guess looking at 1936 to now, you know, I find interesting. Guess the one team that has the same ranking. Notre Dame is at 7 in both 19. I just noticed this. I didn't even have that plan. 1936, Notre Dame was the 7th-ranked team in the top 20 AP poll. Here we are in 2024. They are the number 7-ranked team, Jim.
Well, Notre Dame had, you know, they have a long history going back to, like, Newt Rockne as a player prior to being a coach at Notre Dame. So their history of football goes back 120 years. At least now you mentioned Minnesota, and I do also believe that they had a run like in the late 50s or early 60s where they also had a pretty good team, Landon. And you mentioned some of the other teams, though. What's interesting is Army, I think you said, was ranked third in that initial
yes.
one.
Yep.
And that was in 1936. But actually, they had in the 40s during the war, they were like the best team in the country because they had their pick of the best players. And they also, if I recall correctly, they had back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners with, I think they were running backs who the two of them played on the same team together. But they then the following year, the other guy won the Heisman Trophy, if I recall my history correctly. So there were some times when Army was the very best team in the country.
I believe it. They were funneling people in, I guess, so to speak. But no, I thought that was a fun tidbit. But I want to now pivot to something completely different. And we talked about them a little bit earlier, Michigan. Michigan came out and announced that Jim Harbaugh will be the honorary captain for their season opener. And I think if I'm the NCAA, I'm saying, okay, all right, cool. You want to make this a joke? You think this is funny? Boom. Just drop that. I mean, that is the Michigan playing in their face saying, hey, we just, you know, won a couple championships off of us cheating. And now we're going to bring this guy back. You can't touch him. You tried to touch him. He left out before you could get to him. And now we're going to make fun of you and bring him on the field. Before the game, you can't do anything about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a grudge holder, but if I am the NCAA, I want to obliterate Michigan off the map for even thinking about doing this.
There is such arrogance at Michigan with their fan base that it drives me crazy. And what I find fascinating, remember I said Salty Jim, I'll often go with the media. But if you go to any Michigan-centric people, they'll talk about it in terms of Michigan's making it right after last year when Jim Harbaugh wasn't allowed on the sideline for the games. They're making things right. What's also fascinating then is I saw an article just today, Landon, and it was from the Columbus, Ohio newspaper. Interestingly enough, they had a different take on it than the Michigan angle. So there was a major surprise, isn't it? But yes, I'm with you. That is Michigan just essentially giving the middle finger to the NCAA.
It really is. I hope the NCAA does something. It's like, fight back. You better fight back against that because everybody around the country, if you're a non-Michigan fan, I think we can all agree we want to see them punished. This is the first time I think in NCAA history, we've had an on-the-field cheating scandal. Happened in the NFL. Patriots didn't get much. You see, if you're watching, I mean, most people aren't watching, but hey, I have a terrible towel from Super Bowl 13 behind me. I'm a diehard Steelers fan. And I, you know, they cheated multiple times against us, and it's proven. So I'm still salty about that. So I need to be rewarded and, you know, punish Michigan for this and make me feel better, Jim. But while we're on the topic of, you know, very legendary head coaches, very well-known, I want to pivot over to Colorado. And this is someone that I don't think they didn't receive any votes, I believe, for the top 25. Rightfully so. They don't need to be getting any. But Deion Sanders was at a press conference, and a CBS sports reporter started to ask him a question. And, you know, every time that you get called on at a press conference, they go, you know, hey, I'm Mike Smith with CBS Sports. And he goes, hey, stop right there. It ain't got nothing to do with you, but I don't talk to CBS. I don't deal with CBS. I'm not giving you anything. No. And he goes, you know, he's like, what are you talking about? And Deion doesn't really go into detail in the press conference. But what happened was CBS came out, and I think they might have done predictions, and they were kind of ragging on Colorado a little bit, saying, you know, all they care about is the spotlight. They have really a 5-6-win team maybe. And Deion did not take a liking to that at all. And I believe there's actually another local Colorado reporter that wrote a bad article on Deion, and he will not take comments from him either or questions from him either. So I guess what I'm saying is Deion Sanders is now basically saying, hey, if you don't fully, you know, pat my back and say, oh, Deion, you know, you're doing such a good job, I'm not going to talk to you. I mean, what is that? That is awful, Jim.
It really is, but that's typical Colorado. But by the way, just as an aside, were you a Ted Lasso fan, the show?
I wasn't. I never got into it, Jim.
Oh, well, one of my favorite parts is when he meets the media. Trent Grimm, the Independent. always and they made a joke about it. It was hilarious. But anyway, it's also a little bit of, there have been other coaches who will do that kind of thing and they carry grudges against individuals. But, you know, like Deion Sanders, to do it so blatantly like that and just say, I'm not going to talk to you because you're from CBS, that's awful. And it's typical of, I think Deion is thin-skinned and sensitive.
Well, when you get catered to your whole life, when you're pretty much the best athlete in the world almost, you know, you're catered to. When you're a head coach of a football team, you get the scrutiny. You don't get to be that same guy that you were. You have to follow, you fall under the rules of everybody else where scrutiny is allowed to be put on you, especially. Now, you took a team that had one win and you took them to five, six wins. That's good. But you're still not winning 8-9 games, 10 games. You're going to have scrutiny that falls down upon you. Jim, I wanted to give you this too. Colorado, their practice uniforms. I don't know if you're familiar with this. Oh, yeah, I'm excited. You're going to like this one. They put their Instagram handles on the back of their uniforms. So there's no, you know, Penn State, we don't have names to begin with, but most college teams, they don't put anything on their practice uniforms, but they have their Instagram or Twitter, whatever, I guess, whatever you prefer, they put their handles. So it says on the back of Shador Sanders' jersey, it says at the at symbol, Shador Sanders, you know, and that's his Instagram. Same thing with, and then some of these people have very interesting Instagram handles, and that is on the back of their jerseys in practice, Jim. I just kind of want to get your raw take on that.
You know, Landon, I want so badly to say, who cares? It doesn't affect anything. It doesn't harm their practice. And if they get more exposure, I want so badly to say that, Landon. However, every instinct in my body just says, no, that is so wrong. I can't even explain why, but it is. It just doesn't feel right, Landon.
Not at all. It's they're definitely making, I wouldn't say a mockery, but I think some people would describe it that way, Jim. I don't know exactly what Deion Sanders is thinking or doing over there. And honestly, I think when Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter are both leaving after this year, my take, Deion's going to be going somewhere else. He claims he's not. He obviously will say that. He's going. He's going to go do something else, maybe go back to I just don't think. I think this was something that he wanted to go and do. He had the star. He had the name, the star power to say, hey, I want to go coach my sons. Really cool thing to do. I think he's done after his sons and Travis Hunter leave.
I do too. And he never really established the foundation of a program with the high school recruiting. He was just getting transfers in, shortcut, short term. That was it. That was all he was going for. Landon, as it typically happens, our show just went way too fast today, but that's going to be the final word. Thank you all for listening. Join us next week on Landon and Jim versus the World.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.